This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Austin Road Show on a beautifully warm Tuesday afternoon. PJ Campanero is here. We're going to talk about a couple of interesting things in the coming hour. But first, Austin wants to remind you that she's got a fundraiser for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society coming up.
That's right.
How you doing? You got to talk right into that.
I'm talking. I'm usually so loud.
Go ahead.
Perfect. So every year, Leukemia Lymphoma Society of Augusta puts on a little competition. It's called Man Woman of the Year. And so we have about 18
kids. By the way, that's Man and Woman of the Year, not some conglomerate thereof. In this day and age, you never can tell.
This is true, yeah. But it is actually separate from
RuPaul
men.
Brings
for
the
men.
Man Woman of the Year. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We have male candidates and female candidates, and they compete to see who can raise the most money in a 10-week period for Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And last year, I think they raised $600,000.
Good Lord.
In a 10-week period of time.
I was very proud to help out just a little itty-bitty tiny bit, mainly just being a cheerleader, when my buddy Ashley Brown's wife, Rebecca, won that a few years ago.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. They had a concert involving a country music star coming to town, and then Mike Montarbo picked up the ball and ran with it a couple of years after that, and he did the same thing. And so that, yeah, I've known some very successful LLS competitors there.
Right. And I was a candidate in 2014, and then I was the All-Star candidate last year. But every year that I have participated, we've put on this event, and it is a male review. So it's a dance show.
Jay, you signed up? You ready?
I've been working out.
There you
I was
go.
Getting ready to say, he looks like he's in pretty good shape.
I've been working out.
There's still time. There's still time. It's Friday, May 10th at Chevy's.
Keep your shirt on, Jay. Lord bless us.
It's a male review. It is, I will say, it's somewhat PG. I mean, we're not, it's not like Chippendales or anything. Nobody's going, you know.
Where are the guys coming from?
They're local talent. Local talent. So
I think I'm a little afraid. They're not like, I mean, they're not like celebrities. You don't even have George Eskel out there or anything. Because I'd give you $20 right now for him to keep his clothes on.
We do not reveal the true identity of our dancers. So I cannot give you that information. I can give you.
Chris O'Kelly shows up. My goodness. I mean, so we're not going to know who.
Well, you don't know who. They are local, and they many of them have professions wherein it might not be a good idea for their true identity to be known.
You know, I actually judged a bikini contest one time that I was at for a charity event. I mean, it was for a charity event, and it was at one of our local bars. And as I was there doing my best for charity, this lovely young thing was doing what she was doing and dancing in a particularly provocative way. I said, man, I know her from somewhere. I said, is that somebody's daughter that I know? Is that somebody? And then, no. And then this girl leaned up. She goes, I noticed that you're wondering who that is. And says, that's Miss So-and-so. She's a science teacher at Greenbrier High School. She was a coworker of mine. I was like, God, I immediately texted my wife. Wait a minute. I thought you said you weren't allowed to wear things like this out in public. She was not very happy.
I will attest, there are no sale faculty participating in the mail review.
That's the charter. Yeah, I've seen some of the guys that work over at sale. That's probably a good move.
But I do have stage names, if anybody's interested in hearing those.
Oh, I got to hear this.
So we give them all stage names. They pick out their own music. We've already had a run-through of the dance. And then we have... We have shot boys that walk around.
Shot boys.
Shot boys.
After you see Chris O'Kelly dance, you want to shoot yourself. Is that how that works?
There are no firearms.
I'm picking on Chris. And by the way, I shouldn't pick on Chris because, trust me, nobody on this hallway has any business ever getting naked at all. Ever. For any reason. We ought to bathe with our clothes on. This is not. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Longhorn is one name.
Longhorn. Oh, I thought that was a restaurant you were talking about. Oh, okay.
No, that's...
And he's a University of Texas fan, I guess.
He's a cowboy.
Okay, all right. who else?
Adonis is another name.
Okay.
Spartacus.
Oh, I think I've seen this movie. I think the problem is Spartacus and Adonis might arrive together. And that... head back to their bungalow after the... Never mind. We'll continue this conversation for some odd reason in a moment. Stay with us. More on the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society fundraiser just after this. PJ Campanero, you should. Have you ever considered writing a book when you're all done with your legal career? That way you can name names and.
Yeah, I've considered writing it now and just being done now.
You'd have to write a hell of a book,
right?
She and I were just talking about some people who don't do the right thing when they're under court order to do the right thing, and I don't understand why the judges don't drop a bomb on their head. They've got the ability to do it. I've always said if you want to see the inequity of justice or how justice is meted out, almost, I want to say, in any court, but get in front of a judge, get two people in front of a judge and one owes the other $50,000 and the judge will piddle around about making the person pay it. Say, judge, let me tell you what I think of your judgment. And see how long you go to jail.
Right.
For that. Yeah. He'll lock you up for that. Being a deadbeat for 50 grand, he'll pay it when he can pay it.
Yeah,
That's crap.
Or, you know, you get somebody that's way behind on child support or alimony, something like that, or they owe, you know, just money. And then they'll say, yes, you know, just pay your child support at this rate, and then at, like, $25 a month, pay the towards the arrearage of $50,000.
Jeez. That's unbelievable. The good news, though, about child support is unlike almost any other debt, it can stay with you until you die. And they literally can go through your pockets in the morgue if they need to cover that debt.
Well, and they can intercept your tax returns. But then you have people that, I mean, you'd be amazed how creative people can be.
Oh, yeah.
They'll work under the table so
absolutely.
They don't have to pay it.
No doubt. But, again, I have absolute disgust for so much of the legal system in the way that it has the ability to do things the right way, but people just don't do it. And you and I were talking, and I would never do this to you, PJ. You and I were just talking about judges that make people do the right thing versus judges who don't make people do the right thing. And I want to say this very clearly. If I ever hear of any of our local judges having a deadbeat parent in front of them, and them not just, you know, owing huge amounts of money, that's like, you can't get blood out of a turnip, as we were saying a few minutes ago off the air. But if it's somebody that has an order to behave in a certain way, have the kid back at a certain time, make sure that you cover the health insurance of a child, et cetera, and you're just choosing not to do it because you're a sorry ass individual, I ever get wind of a judge not coming down like hell's thunder on those people, I'll make them famous. It makes no sense to me at all. You've got somebody that is under legal requirement to hit this button, that button, that button, that, just do this, 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 and this. And they simply choose not to. The judges completely ruin their own credibility and weaken their own power by not coming down like hell's bells on them. I don't understand it. Why does that happen?
And they don't always do that. I mean, you have some judges that do, some judges that don't. And you kind of have to, I mean, when you get a case, you know, your case gets assigned to a particular judge. So, I mean, part of what my job is knowing who my judge is, knowing who my audience is, and knowing, you know, what the rules are going to be. And, I mean, I can pretty much tell a client, okay, yeah, this is going to happen or this isn't going to happen on a particular case based on the judge, whether it be worth it to even file a contempt at certain times.
I only know of one person that has actually had their feet held to the fire, and that's Tim Shelnut. When he went, you remember what happened to him when he went belly up on some of his court ordered, and it wasn't child support. The judges are pretty good about child support. This was all on alimony stuff that he owed his ex-wife. He got locked up for an entire summer on contempt of court charges where he was found, you know, hiding income and stuff like that, selling assets without sending the proceeds to his ex. I mean, it's crazy. So
I think I remember that.
Oh, yeah. It was a big story. I mean, he was a very powerful and important man for a long, long time. And it was crazy that he went to the lengths that he did not to pay what he was ordered to pay. And again, it's one thing if you don't have it, and that I'm not going to say that's a defense, but it's understandable. But when you have the money and you simply choose not to do it, you deserve jail. And he did. That's not debtor's prison. That's contempt.
And I think that's a lot of people come in, you know, I lost my job. I did this. I did that. I can't refinance a house to get the other person's name on it But then there are people that do intentional things too, such as destroying, you know, the property or refusing to let a realtor come look at the property that needs to be sold.
Let me ask you a question. I've always wondered why the system isn't a little bit more reasonable when it comes to athletes and entertainers who at one point in their life may have been making a huge sum of money. If you're a professional football player, I think the minimum salary is like $600,000 right now. But that's a very, very short period of time that you're able to make that kind of money. And then you become a regular human being. And for the vast majority of those athletes, they don't have the ability to go out and become endorsement stars and dance on Dancing with the Stars and all this kind of stuff. So they end up taking jobs for $50,000, $60,000 a year. Why isn't the income automatically adjusted, why isn't the child support automatically adjusted to accommodate those fluctuations in income?
Well, I mean, you do have to take steps, but it's fairly automatic. I mean, you can go to child support enforcement and ask for a modification based on a change in circumstances, as in loss of a job or, you know, in that particular instance, you go from making, what, $1 million to $60,000.
Right.
That's going to be a huge difference in
Absolutely.
Child support. So,
well, isn't it better, rather than ask for a dollar amount, to always say 15% of gross earnings or something?
They do not calculate child support that way in Georgia anymore. It's based on what's called the income shares model.
Based on the income shares model, it would be, I see what you're saying. So you would have to have the income of both parents to take that into consideration.
Correct, because that's how you determine the percentage of the combined gross income of both parents.
Absolutely.
And then you put it in the child support worksheets, and it spits out a little number for everybody to pay.
Interesting. Leukemia and Lymphoma Society has a very, very active fundraising chapter here in the CSRA. The annual Man and Woman of the Year competition is underway, and had Claudia Latch on the show a couple weeks ago talking about her Cabaret for a Cause. I can tell you that there are probably more individual events set up around this drive every year than any other charity. For instance, the Alzheimer's Association does Dancing with the Stars, which is a one-night event. These contestants all have separate events going on, and what you're talking about tonight is not necessarily part of the competition, is it?
Well, all the proceeds go towards
Leukemia and Lymphoma, but not toward any specific individual.
It does go towards Andrea Johnson's campaign.
Oh, it's Andrea Johnson.
Yeah, she's a realtor in Augusta. And
is it Gwen's daughter?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Why didn't you say so?
And
the West Side with her. Yeah.
So she, because we have worked on this event so many years, she asked us to help her with it this year, and so we said absolutely, because I love putting it on, and it's a pretty fun event.
Absolutely. So the big event is Thursday night, not a week from Thursday. I needed to correct that.
Right. It's on this Thursday. Doors open at 7. You can get tickets at Paleo Num Yums, or you can message me on Facebook, and I will drive you a ticket. They are $25 a piece, and we're going to have some awesome dancers, local talent. It's not going to be too risque.
Now, is Chevy's closed that night except for this event, or are they having it in the middle of everything?
It's closed for this event, but you can come in after the fact. You know,
and what time does the event run?
I think we're done at 10 o'clock.
At what time? Well, that's good. They get y'all, they get their engines revved up. So, fellas, y'all be standing at the door at 10 o'clock, and they bust open the doors.
We have been known to dance afterwards. We have.
So, again, this is an event that you want to get all your girlfriends up and go to, right?
That's right. It's going to be a fun ladies' night out. We have
Thursday night at Chevy's. What's the website in case people want to visit for Andrea?
It's just her Facebook page. She'll have a link to
on her LLS page.
Yeah, I think her Facebook page does have an LLS link on it, though.
Gotcha.
But Andrea Johnson, and it's going to be a super fun event.
So is Gwen going to be there?
I don't know.
That's former Augusta First Lady Gwen Fulcher Young. That would that'd be a hoot. That would be worth paying $25 just to watch her slipping ones in every day.
No cameras are allowed.
No cameras. And all the tips that the dancers collect go straight back to LLS.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
We collect them and have to count them afterwards.
What are you talking about? You're not getting into the spirit of it if you're being like that.
Well, I mean, they're usually pretty wet and sweaty.
Oh, come on now. Didn't need to hear all that.
But
you don't have O'Kelly dancing up there with you? Yeah, okay, go ahead.
piles of ones. I think I have a picture on my Facebook page where it's just piles of sweaty $1 bills.
Oh, come on, ladies. You can do better than ones.
I agree.
That's right.
But Chevy's does have a machine that'll give you change in ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty unusual for a nightclub like that?
I guess
it, it
so.
doesn't ordinarily feature dancers in such a way.
But they're prepared. And we have a drink. We have a signature drink as
it's
well.
It's called the what?
Throat punch. Because the teams, he's just dying right there.
I mean,
there.
He's very easily entertained talking about JR producer. Go ahead.
Because the team name for Andrea's team is Throat Punch Cancer.
There you go.
So, but it's a very good drink. I've tasted it.
Okay. Well, again, Thursday night at Chevy's, get all your girlfriends together and head on over there. And no truth to the rumor that you'll provide free legal counsel if a divorce comes out of what happens, right?
I do a free consultation.
Consultation. All right. So you ladies can go and make your husbands mad and go see PJ, right?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Does Steve have a legal question that he wants to run by, or does he just wants to make a political comment about gun control? Hold on a second. We may just have to take a regular Austin Roadshow call here. Steve, what's on your mind today, buddy?
Yeah, first of all, I listen to PJ every Sunday night. I enjoy listening to her.
You have a standing date every Sunday night, PJ.
Thank you.
Gun control. Not only gun control for people, but also for each and every state. There's a National Guard, and the reason for that is to make sure that each and every state remains a free state. Without the National Guard, the rest of the states may take away our rights. And that's a part of the Constitution. And when it comes to each and every individual, they have the right to bear arms. Not just an arm, but arms. There should be no more of an issue of that. And there should be, when it comes to breathing the air, they would breathe.
All right, Steve. Hang in there. Appreciate the call. By the way, PJ, do you practice in South Carolina?
I do.
Okay, all right. So, PJ, or Steve, if you're running any issues over there, call PJ up, right?
That's right. I practice in South Carolina.
How often do you get a request to represent someone because they feel like their civil rights have been violated? Their constitutional rights, I guess. Civil rights is a little bit different. Constitutional rights.
Every now and again, I've represented quite a few that have been what I would say, I guess, malicious prosecution or wrongfully incarcerated. What happens is sometimes there are some technical errors that occur and somebody gets put in jail and they can't get out. For instance, like a bench warrant doesn't get lifted even though the person's paid the ticket and they end up sitting in jail for a period of time. Those kind of things, which is a civil rights and a constitutional right violation.
We had a very famous case here in Augusta long before you came along because you were probably a kid when this happened. Former editorial page editor at the Augusta Chronicle, Phil Kent, was accosted by some members of the Columbia County Sheriff's Department back when Sheriff Whitfield was in charge. Tom Whitfield was the sheriff, and one of the sheriff's sons helped coordinate an illegal stop on Phil where they harassed him, and that was part of a lawsuit that he brought against the Whitfields, and they paid out handsomely for that. So we have had some sure enough malicious police harassment in this area.
Yeah,
And by the way, that was a Democrat sheriff against a Republican conservative editorial page writer.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And when I worked at the solicitor's office, our office got sued for involving the whole Sentinel issue with
the private probation
issue and violation of civil rights, constitutional rights at that particular time. I was in the middle of a vehicular homicide trial and got served with a lawsuit. I was like, could you at least wait until I was done?
The irony.
Right. I'm like, I'm over here doing my duty.
You know how many people you had served through the years and things like that?
True.
Turnabout was fair play.
That's right. So, not tons of them, but those are the kind of things I usually get involved in because, frankly, I was on the other side of it, so I can understand how to handle it a little bit better, I feel like.
Absolutely. It is interesting to me, though, that we have a lot of people, particularly in this day and age, get threatened with slander lawsuits and people saying that they've had their business reputation or their personal reputation damaged by something that was said online. And folks just really have no clue as to what the legal ramifications of expressing your own opinion are unless you're very careful. You can say, I personally believe that food was horrible. What you can't say is that food is poison.
Right.
You can say that the service was awful. You can't say that they tried to kill me or they tried to serve us dog food or something like that. One is an actionable statement. The other is an opinion.
Right. And I mean, and I think people don't, you know, they don't really know the difference. And most of the time people put stuff on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and they form it as an opinion. But every now and again, you've got somebody that's out there actually, you know, disparaging someone directly. I mean, I think with the whole sale debacle, you know, we were...
Sale, the charter school, S-A-I-L.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm just reminding everyone that you were part of that on the administration side. You're on the board of directors.
Right. So, you know, I think there were a couple times that people crossed the line into actual defamation, but you also have to prove damages with defamation. I have a lot of people come into my office, you know, to talk to me about...
Because their feelings are hurt.
Right. And they want to talk to me about those kind of lawsuits, but I'm like, well, can you prove that it hurt your business, or can you prove, you know, some kind of financial damage based on what the person said? And, you know, that part is really the more difficult part. And if you don't have any damage, there's not much you can do about it.
My conversation with PJ Campanero, and she's going to remind you again about her fundraiser for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Is actually in support of Andrea Johnson's campaign, but it sounds like a fun time for all. We'll let you know about that in just a minute. I do want to take a quick moment and remind you about our friends over at Frog Hollow Hospitality Group's new restaurant. I say it's new. It's been around for a couple of months now. Jay and I were talking yesterday about his experience with Frog and the Hen and how much he loved it. PJ Campanero has been over there too. You like Frog and the Hen?
I do. It's pretty delicious, actually.
Do you have a favorite entree?
I think I had a whole chicken or half chicken.
The whole chicken.
Something like that. But it was really, really good.
PJ hadn't eaten in a couple of days.
I know, right?
Yeah. Wow.
I think that was the name of it.
Yes, ma'am. Would you like a doggy bag? No, I'm eating the whole thing.
I'm eating the whole chicken.
Yeah. Man, you must have enjoyed it. There are no bones left on the table. So. You ate the whole chicken?
The whole chicken. Wow. I think that was the name of the dish.
The
but I feel like it was a whole chicken.
No, it's actually a half chicken. I think it's a half chicken. Unless they just brought you two of them.
Or maybe it was a small...
Well, it's
chicken.
Absolutely delicious, and it's over there at Flowing Wells Road. They've brought the folks that run Frog Hollow downtown, Frog Hollow Tavern and Craft and Vine and Farmhouse. They've brought the taste of the downtown specialty restaurants out into the suburbs right there at the end of Flowing Wells Road, right next to Farmhouse Number 2. I've loved the chicken. I do love the chicken, but I also love the mushroom gnocchi. Absolutely.
Ooh,
delicious.
I haven't had that.
Oh, it's very, very good. And they've got wonderful desserts as well. Stop by and see them tonight, and you'll understand exactly what we're talking about. Farm-to-table goodness and great service as well. Frog Hollow Hospitality welcomes Frog and the Hen, their newest addition to the family. Flowing Wells Road, right there at the end, next to Farmhouse Number 2. Tell them Austin sent you. Yo, the website's up and running too, frogandthehen.com. Okay, so PJ,
yes.
I have to ask you about this. Game of Thrones business.
Yes.
No, she was going to ask me. What were you at? Are you trying to get me to...
Well, there, you know, I get a little crazy about it, so I start searching for spoilers and leaks.
But you've seen it, so you're up to date.
Oh, I'm totally up to date.
You're trying to get predictions on what's going to happen.
Right, like I can't wait. So,
you want my prediction right
yes,
now?
Sure.
Lady Brienne, who is now Lord Brienne of all things, she's going to end up killing Jaime Lannister. She is going to end up killing Jaime Lannister for us all over. They hooked up over the weekend. And as I was telling Jay yesterday, Game of Thrones is not just about the violence. It's about all the sex and the nudity, too, of course. And we have seen so much sex and nudity of people we had no desire to see. Melisandre, when she was the old lady. I mean,
Arya.
Arya wasn't too bad. But, I mean, it was creepy to me because I always think of her as like being 12 years
old.
She's
like a little girl to me.
Yeah. You're right. But Brienne, how do you not have any nudity in that scene? Everybody's wanted to know what she looks like under that armor. You did too, and you know it.
Well, I mean, she's just
you're a heterosexual woman.
Right.
You do.
I mean, she's just so tall.
Like, believe it or not, everything's still in the same place.
Right. You just want to.
But she's so manly looking until you see her just in that light. Think, oh, well, she's actually not.
Well.
And have you seen pictures of her in real life? She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah. If you see her, like, on the red carpet, I mean, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
She just happens to be, I don't know,
so how could they show that and not show her? That killed me. I actually yelled at the TV. Oh, come on!
Well, they didn't show Jamie either.
They have in the past. They have in the past.
You're right.
They have. Yeah. Trust me. Trust me. I did research on it.
I think they should have more Jon Snow, always.
Yeah, that too. Okay. So, I think she is going to end up killing him because he's apparently defending his sister now.
Cersei. Well, what do you think is going to happen with Jon and Dany?
I think one or two of them is going to die. Probably Dany. I've had to correct people today, calling her Mother of Dragons. She's now Mother of Dragon.
Oh, right. Yeah. But there are some people are suspecting that the dragon, the one that died in the slack, Rhaegal, I guess, is not dead.
No, no. He's dead.
He looked pretty dead
to me. Dead. He's
there
dead.
Was a lot of blood.
Right through the throat.
Yeah.
He ripped his throat out.
Yeah.
No, he's dead. Now, I don't know if you noticed, there were sounds at the end of the episode.
Yes.
That sounded like more than one dragon to me.
It did. And so
I'm thinking there may be other dragons out there.
Right. That was the other thing is that maybe, you know, because I think Drogon went off and was disappeared for a while in one of the seasons. So they're like, maybe he was mating or.
With who?
I don't know. And then, you know, maybe
kind of an inbred, yucky situation going on there.
Well, bit. And they never.
There were three dragons.
They never really specified if they were girl or boy dragons, really.
No, you couldn't tell.
Yeah, so you can't tell. So,
kinda
I mean.
Like turtles. You have no idea.
Yeah, so it's up in the air.
However, I have two turtles at home. I know which one is the male, which one's the female.
Well, I have a gecko, and I don't know.
Simply because the female hides all the time. That's the only reason I know. And she buries her eggs in the stuff that you have in the little container I have them in. So I know the difference there. But you're right. It's there are all kind of interesting possibilities as far as the dragons.
It's a great show.
It is. It's one of the most entertaining television experiences in a long time for me. Cool. And I love Breaking Bad. Were you a fan of Breaking Bad?
I was.
Trying to think of some of the other ones that I've really enjoyed over the years. Walking Dead, I've kind of got a love-hate relationship with it because...
Well, I'm like, where are they walking?
It makes me so angry sometimes. I mean, why would you spend any time at all in a part of the country that's got cold weather?
Exactly.
Well, unless you go completely cold and you go to a place where the zombies can't live.
Right. But I
would get to an island if I
were. Right. I would go to the beach. I would, you know, do something happy.
And there's no way that a zombie walks in the ocean and doesn't get eaten by all kind of stuff.
True.
There's no way. I mean, they're walking chum, for Pete's sake.
I liked House of Cards, too.
House of Cards was good until they lost the president.
But Kevin Spacey.
Anyway, so do you have a prediction as to what's going to happen? Game of Thrones.
I mean, I really want a happy ending. I know it's Game of Thrones.
How are you going to have it?
So
Rand's going to get up and walk, step out of the wheelchair? What's going
to
happen?
No, I think, to me, Jon and Dany, you know, ruling together, or them just, rather than just having one, you know, Iron Throne.
They're related. You can't have them get together and hook up.
Well, Targaryens are okay with incest.
Oh.
This is not a real life situation.
I knew you were from Tennessee. I didn't realize you... Still harking back to those ways. Where in Tennessee are you from?
I'm from
Lick East, Skillet, what?
East Tennessee.
Yeah.
So
Lick Skillet.
You can marry your, or you used to be able to marry your first cousin in Tennessee. So.
Wow.
Not okay. That I did or would, but you can. It's an option.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad to know where you stand on that. By the way, any of you folks with unique legal cases involving these issues, feel free to call PJ Campanero. This week on Appalachian Divorce Court, we'll continue. We'll wrap it up. She's not laughing at that. She made a face at me. We'll be back, wrap up this program for some strange reason that needs to be wrapped up, put out of its misery. Okay, real quick, the big event for Leukemia Lymphoma Society at Chevy's coming up Thursday night. Remind everybody.
It is going to be this Thursday night, May 9th, the Mail Review Benefiting Leukemia Lymphoma Society. If you want tickets, you can email me, Facebook Andrea Johnson. I just put...
this is PJ Campanero, by the way.
That's correct. And I just put the Facebook event at the top of my page. So if you go to my page, PJ Downing Campanero, you can see it there. And we're going to have some live mail entertainment. And it's going to be a fun time for all you ladies.
And these are local.
Local talent.
Oh, excuse me, not lactic acid, uric acid. I'm sorry.
And one of our dancers is also the professor. I'm interested to see him.
The professor?
The professor.
Like from Gilligan's Island?
Maybe. My favorite character.
I think he's dead now.
In a likeness of.
Gotcha. By the way, again, I made a boo-boo. It's uric acid in the joints, not lactic acid. I'm sorry. I don't even know what lactic acid is.
I would have never known.
Shame on me. I've been doing real well on Jeopardy lately, though. My wife was very, very happy she got Final Jeopardy last night. It was a Robert Frost quote.
Oh, wow.
She was able to knock it out of the park. It was her only one of the night, but still, she was very impressed.
Is the guy still winning?
The guy is on vacation right now because they're having the teachers tournament,
okay,
which is going to take 2 weeks. So they set him aside, but his streak is still on. He's at almost 1.7 million now. And he's still going strong. He'll be back as soon as the teachers are done. I thought it was kind of dumb for them to do that because they've got a tremendous amount of interest in this guy. The teachers are ready to, I mean, just go ahead and film their spot and just say, hey, as soon as he's done on his run, we'll go straight into the teachers. That's what they should have done. But apparently they're not taking notes from me for some strange reason. So, PJ, before we let you out of here, big question going on in the world of judicial legal conversations about lifetime appointment of judges. Do you support that or not?
No.
You don't think Supreme Court justices should be lifelong appointments?
No. No.
So in the event of, or in the case of a federal judge, should it be for a certain amount of time and then they come off, or should it be a renewable appointment?
Should it
be an election?
Not an election, but I think possibly a renewable appointment. But the problem is, I mean, you do have Supreme Court justices. I mean, obviously, I'm a Ruth Bader Ginsburg fan, but she's pretty old. And I think she seems to be pretty sharp still. But I think anybody in that position, you know, after a certain amount of time, I mean, you know, you're not as sharp as you always were. And so I just think and times change. So I think that that's something that should be looked at rather than just a lifetime appointment.
I understand that. I would think maybe a 10-year or even a 12-year appointment may be the way to go. But I get your point. And you would think, and you would certainly hope, that Supreme Court justices would be civic-minded enough to where they would come off. But I remember a local judge not too long ago having run his course on the bench, and unfortunately he had some cognitive issues that were really starting to show up in his work, and they had to kind of force their hand a little bit. Some of the other judges in the area kind of got together and went to his family and said, hey, if a move is not made here shortly, we're going to get the, what was it called, the Judicial Review Committee?
Yeah, I think it is Judicial Review Committee. I'm thinking of Judicial Nominating Committee, but that's different. But, yeah, I mean, there is a watchdog committee, or there was, over judges. So that's
there still
a,
is.
You
in,
would
in
report
the state
it
of Georgia. All right, listen, it's a pleasure to have you here. Look forward to talking to you in the future. You can hear PJ Campanero every Sunday night right here on WGAC, 7 o'clock, right after Judge Watkins.
Great. Thanks right. so much for having me.
Have fun tomorrow night or Thursday night and behave yourself.
I'll try.
All right. And if you've got any $1 bills, just head over to Chevy's Thursday night.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.